Hey, I need to get laid. He grunts out as he loosens his tie. His eyes roam over me and then flit to my desk. Did Indigo respond? I shrug my shoulders and rest my phone on my toned stomach. Not yet. I did like you said, though, and messaged several old Tucker clients. I'm hoping someone will bite. He nods his approval. Good work. Did your business cards come in? You should be spending your days out doing cold calls. Okay, Dad. We both wince at my response, but my brother changes the subject quickly. Old man Tucker is thinking of selling. At least that's what I heard through the grapevine. I don't like the idea of my job being in limbo. He utters and gives me a solemn stare. I need this job. I roll out of bed and saunter over to the closet in search of something to wear. Given that Roman is still wearing his suit means we'll hit up some of the fancier bars he likes to go to. I rummage around in my closet until I find a button-up shirt that doesn't need ironing. It's black and looks nice enough. I'm not wearing a tie, nor am I wearing slacks. This is the best he'll get from me. Why do you need that job so bad? You're good at what you do. Any ad firm would be lucky to have you. As I dress, he sits at my desk and messes around on my computer with his back to me. I've been planning to leave for months now, he says, his voice low. The sting at him choosing them over me doesn't hurt so much knowing he's been thinking about it. I just wanted to have all my ducks in a row before I leapt into something. He trails off and clicks through the designs I've been working on. Something more enjoyable. These are good designs, by the way. You haven't lost your touch. Thanks. I button up my shirt on the way to the bathroom. It takes a few minutes to style my hair in the just-fucked way that will hopefully get me laid. Although I'd rather just have Carrie. I'm fucking attracted to her hand for crying out loud. When I come back out, Roman is standing, a pensive look making his brows furrow together. I smirk because when Roman thinks with that look on his face, he gets shit done. I'm just wondering what world he's going to conquer next. You ready? I can't help but smile. Maybe if we hit enough bars, I'll eventually find the one Carrie works at. Ready as I'll ever be. It's been 3 hours and she still hasn't responded. I know my chest looked good in that picture, so she can't think I'm gross. That much I know for sure. So I wonder what has her ignoring my last text. I'm nursing my Jack and Coke, but Roman's knocking them back like the supply will be gone tomorrow and tonight's his last chance to have them. With each drink, he gets more playful and grabby with the servers. It's times like these he reminds me of the brother I had in high school, before Dad passed away. I can't help but smile.
I haven't seen you fellows around here before.
A sultry voice coos from beside me. Pointy fingernails dig into my flesh through my shirt. I turn to regard the woman who literally has her claws in me. Older, maybe 40-ish. Fine lines and wrinkles carefully hidden behind a pound of makeup. Bright blue eyes that have seen better days. A painted red smile on her face. She seems like a lovely woman, but not my type. When I glance down at her red-painted fingernails that match her lips, I can't help but think of Carrie's navy blue thumbnail. It wasn't a long nail, and had been clipped short. We don't make it out this way often. I agree with a forced smile. She takes the smile as an invitation and sidles up on the stool beside me.
You should. A handsome guy like yourself should be spreading himself all over this town.
She winks at me, and I suppress a shudder. Look, I start, but my phone buzzes in my pocket, distracting me. Buttercup.
Was that really you?
I grin and return her text. Me. In the flesh. Buttercup.
Hardy har har. I like the tribal arrowhead tattoo.
Me. I designed it myself, actually. Her response is immediate. Buttercup.
Wow, that's so cool. Behind the businessman is an artist.
I cringe at having almost outed myself on a lie. The woman beside me clears her throat to get my attention. When I turn to her, she's frowning.
Look, honey, she says firmly. If you're interested, my cost is $1,000 for the night.
I blink at her in confusion.
What?
This time, she's the one confused.
I thought you wanted sex.
Boy, do I ever. Just not with her.
Not exactly.
I start, but my drunk brother interrupts by slapping a wad full of hundreds on the bar. My treat, bro, he says, smirking at me. His drink sloshes and I realize he's fucking plastered. Growling, I yank the money up and shove it into my pocket for safekeeping. Time to go, drunk ass, I grumble.
The other lady who had been making out with him a little bit ago protests at my pulling him away. I slap some cash onto the bar for our tab and drag my stumbling brother away from those old whores.
"Did you really bring us here so you could pay for sex?" I snap.
He mutters something about me needing sex to help with my creativity. His heavy arm is slung over my shoulder and I all but have to carry him from the bar. As soon as we push through the doors, I lose my grip on him and he crashes into a pair of women, knocking one to the pavement.
"Drunk asshole!"
the blonde shrieks, hauling off and kicking my brother, who's all but tackled a brunette. I grunt and pull him from the petite woman. I'm awarded a flash of her white panties as she tries to right her skirt. Watery hazel eyes meet mine as I pull my beast of a brother away from her. The blonde kicks him again, this time on his ass, which makes him bellow in faux pain. I need to get him home. But my eyes are locked on those of the brunette. Her pink lip is jutted out, and if I didn't have this stupid drunk oaf in my grip, I'd ask her if I could have a nibble of it. The spell is broken when the blonde once again kicks my brother before helping the brunette to her feet.
"Oh my God!"
she shrieks, her hand smoothing out over the other woman's now messy hair, before handing her back her phone that had been sitting on the pavement.
"Danny, are you okay?"
The brunette, Danny. She nods, her gaze never leaving mine as the blonde hauls her away from my blubbering brother.
"The blonde kicked my ass," he complains, waving his middle finger at her.
I mouth that I'm sorry to the frazzled brunette before turning and half-carrying my dumb brother to my car.
"She literally fucking kicked my ass, man," he bellows. "I'm gonna have bruises and shit."
My normally composed brother curses like a sailor when he's tanked. I smirk and ruffle his now imperfect hair.
"You deserved it, bro."
As soon as I load my brother into the passenger seat and buckle him up, I lean against the side of my car and check for any missed texts from Carrie. Buttercup.
"I wish I was creative, blah, blah, blah."
I frown, wondering if her friend stole her phone again, but this time I don't receive any suggestive texts. Finally, another one comes through. Buttercup.
"OMG, what a night. I so need a drink."
Smirking, I fire off a text.
Me. "Well, you do work in a bar, so that should be easy. Cheers."
The next picture she sends is her same hand I received earlier with the same flecked navy blue polish, except this time she's not giving me a thumbs up. This time she's holding a glass of red wine. I close my eyes and imagine the brunette from earlier, her plump lips pressing against the edge of the glass. I've given my stranger fantasy the face of another. Until Carrie sends me a real picture, I won't feel guilty putting the pretty brunette there as a placeholder.
Me. What I wouldn't give to be there with you right now.
After sending the text, I climb into the Stang and fire up the engine. It's going to be hell getting my passed-out brother up to the 8th floor of our building, but at least once I finally retire back to my bedroom, I can message Carrie without interruption.
Chapter 5. Danny. Junk in the trunk. "Fucking drunk assholes," Andy mutters while walking into Bender's. I look behind me at the glass door, trying to get a glimpse of the two guys we just ran into. Or more like one drunk guy plowed into me while his friend tried hoisting him back up. I strain my neck, hoping to catch one last look. The way that guy looked at me, it felt strange. A complete stranger, and the way he took me in caught my breath. I couldn't even tell him I was all right, forcing myself to nod. "Dude, what are you looking at?" I turn back. "Nothing, just those guys." "Yeah, total assholes. Learn to handle your liquor, douchebags." I lift my hand to defend the stranger. "I don't think the other guy was drunk. Who cares? Ew, I hate guys like that." We walk in, spotting Brett behind the bar, who seems to be enjoying a few laughs with Sylvia, Bender's longest-lasting waitress. "What's so funny?" Andy asks, sitting on the stool in front of Brett, myself next to her.
"Oh, look who the cat dragged in." Brett smiles, dropping two coasters in front of us. "Sylvia over here just had some fun messing with some random. Told the guy she would give him the night of his life for $1,000.
Sylvia starts laughing again.
"You should have seen his face, pale as a ghost."
She slaps her thigh, letting out a loud chuckle.
"So what can I get you two ladies tonight? Another tequila bender?"
I cringe at that word. I really, if possible, never want to hear that word ever again. I would like a glass of wine, please, I kindly ask. Andy orders a vodka tonic. Brett tends to the bar and, shortly after, is placing a glass of Merlot in front of me, a vodka tonic in front of Andy.
How's the breakup going?
Brett asks while I snap a pic of my wine. Shrugging Brett off, I open my text messages and see the last message from him. The photo of his chest. The second I saw it, I threw my phone, almost embarrassed that I saw his bare chest. All those tattoos. His defined abs. I was getting heated in the cheeks just thinking about it. I definitely didn't expect him to be so colorful. But it worked on him. I imagined myself taking my nails and softly scratching down that chest, my curiosity at what was below building. My cheeks turned crimson at the indecent thoughts. I turned to Andy, who was downing her drink. Turning back to my phone, I start to message when Andy startles me, attempting to snatch it from my hand. Seriously, give me that. No, I say as we wrestle for my phone. I finally win and she gives up. Well, Brett, Andy answers for me. The breakup is going great. No peep about the cheating fuckhead. And that's because she is all over wrong numbers balls. At that, I look up from my text. I am not. Then who did you just text? Certainly not your mom. I give her my stink eye because I can't lie, but I want to talk to him. I regret not answering his call, but I panicked. When I saw his name come across my screen, I about tossed my phone at a customer's head like it was on fire. He tried calling me. I was in shock and confused, then excited and even more curious as to why. But when I saw the notification that I had a voicemail, I had never requested a break so fast in my life. And it may have been the first time in all eternity that I just walked off before even hearing my boss's response. And that voice, it was perfect, deep, masculine, his laugh sending a warm sensation down below. I'd listened to it 3 times before my boss came back and told me my break was over. I knew it wasn't, but I also knew it was a busy time of day, so I nodded and went back to work. Everything about him weighed heavy on my mind all day. And if it was true what he said, that he masturbated to my messages, a small laugh slips from my lips remembering his words. Hello, Earth to Danny! I snap out of it, turning to Andy, who's staring me down, then to Brett and Sylvia, who both seem to be watching me expectantly. What? What did I miss? Well, for starters, the whole conversation? Andy snaps.
Darling, I just asked you why you're staring at your phone like someone just sent you a pic of a juicy steak.
Because she wants him to send a pic of his juicy steak, Andy exclaims. You should have seen the one he sent earlier. You would think she hadn't eaten in days the way she drooled over it. I smack her in the arm. I did not, I lie. Feeling guilty for lying, though, I try to explain. Okay, fine. I may have, but who wouldn't? Even you said he was, your words, super hot and fuckable. Andy shrugs her shoulders, agreeing, and takes a sip of her drink. Brett raises an eyebrow, looking at me curiously.
Wait, wrong number dude sent you a dick pic?
No, I say, raising my voice embarrassed. No, he sent me a picture of his bare chest. A nice chest, as a matter of fact. I take a hefty sip of my wine. This topic is becoming too uncomfortable for me. My phone dings, and I look down to find a new message from Ram. I smile at his banter, flying off a response back. But when Brett sticks his hand out, I frown.
Let me see it.
I look up just in time for Andy to grab my phone and hand it over to Brett. Oh, God. I cover my eyes but peek as I watch Brett scroll through the messages. His lips twitch as he reads. A few seconds pass and an eyebrow goes up. I groan into my hands as his manly chuckle fills the air.
Your guy gets off on you?
He grins, waiting for an answer. I refuse to take my face out of my hands.
He's got some sweet ink, though. Buff dude.
I lift my face, knowing I have to face the music sooner or later. Brett is smiling at me while Sylvia is now looking at my phone. I think they're pretty, I agree. A loud chuckle startles me as Brett grabs his chest, laughing.
Babe, don't ever tell a man his tattoos are pretty. That shit will never get you what you want.
Well, what do you say then? I dig your zigzags? And what exactly is it you think I want?
Another laugh. You mean as tribal art? Yeah, you say you dig it, you like it. Just leave off the word pretty.
He hands me back my phone, and I look closer at Ram's tattoos. I notice an arrowhead on his pectoral muscle.
Plus, you want the dick pic. Important to see what the dude's packing before you commit.
This conversation cannot get any more embarrassing. I certainly don't want to see his stuff. I offer Brett a how-dare-he-assume look and turn to Andy, who was weirdly nodding.
What?
I do not.
Bull, she says with a chuckle. And if you don't, I sure as hell do. That chest, those tattoos, it has to come with a package any girl wants to bob on.
Ugh.
So, Andy claps her hands together while I drain my whole glass of wine. Tonight's mission is to get a picture of Ram's cock.
Ugh. Andy, no, I don't want... We do, Sylvia and Andy reply in unison. I groan, then sigh, then tap on my wine glass for a refill.
Fine.
It seems like everyone was already on board for the dick pic. Even Brett looked excited. I allow Andy to take the reins on this one because I can't say I know how to request a dick pic from a guy I barely know. Andy was more than delighted to take my phone and started typing off a quick message.
Me. I wish you would show me a dick pic.
Andy, are you kidding me? He's going to think I'm some sick weirdo. I take my wine that Brett just refilled and chug a huge gulp. Before she even responds, we hear the ding, and all four of us lean in to see the phone. The message shows, photo attached.
Oh my God, I can't look. I cover my eyes, but still peek a little.
I can, Sylvia says, leaning over me to get a better gander.
Andy opens it, and even though I'm too embarrassed to look, I sneak a glance through my fingers. Ram.
Like this?
And attached is a photo of a car taking up two parking spots.
What the fuck? Andy types away.
Me.
No, what the fuck is this?
Ram.
A dick? He took up two spaces. I had to park eons away from my loft.
I smile at his response. I am becoming a sucker for his quirky humor. Andy types another message.
Me.
No, I mean your junk in your damn trunk. We all stare at the photo as we see those three darn dots moving. Before we know it, another message with photo attached comes through. This time, it's a picture of a car trunk.
Ram. I'm not really sure what's in it, though. I broke the key in the lock ages ago.
I begin to laugh, along with Sylvia, who's also enjoying my guy, while Andy gets more annoyed.
Seriously? What's wrong with this dude? How does he not know what a dick is? He has one, right?
She grumbles.
I'd assume he does, since he jerked off earlier, Brett says, putting his two cents in.
That causes me to giggle, remembering our earlier text conversation. Andy is next to me, typing something like rapid fire.
Me. Let me put it in simple terms. Send me a picture of some cock. If he doesn't get that, then you need to cut your losses, like, now with this dude.
We all stare at the phone and wait for Ram's reply. When we don't even get the three dots, I begin to worry we've offended him. I take another large gulp of my wine, worried that he got turned off by the aggressiveness of Andy's messages.
I knew I shouldn't have let her do the texting.
5 more minutes, and then 10 more pass, and still no reply. My nerves are going berserk with the anxiety that I just ruined what we were starting. I finish my second glass of wine, and then my third, when my phone finally dings. We all throw ourselves closer to the phone as Andy opens the newest photo attached.
Be a cock, be a cock,
Andy chants out loud as she swipes, and then,
oh, fucking come on!
I can't hold in my laughter as we all look at a photo of a rooster. Ram.
You really are pushy. Fine. Here's a cock. Now you have to tell me what you plan on doing with it. Pet it. Rub it. I want every single dirty detail.
This guy is ridiculous.
Andy pouts, slamming her drink. I smile at the photo. I think he's charming. She rolls her eyes at me, and I simply shrug. I think about how much I enjoy our text exchanges, and how I want more. So much more. I climb off my stool, swaying a little from how fast I drank the 3 glasses of wine. I tell everyone that I have to go to the bathroom, but find a quiet hallway. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a bold move and call him. I go to his contact info and my thumb hovers over the send button. Don't be a scared Sally, Danny, I coach myself. I take in a deep breath, the feeling of the booze warming me from the inside out. It's giving me the liquid courage I need to just do it. And I do. I press send. I hold my breath and close my eyes. 1 ring. 2 rings. On the 3rd ring, I get his voicemail. I let out the huge breath I was holding, feeling a bit disappointed. Why wouldn't he answer? Maybe he didn't want to talk to me.
Ram, you know what to do.
And the beep sounds in my ear. Hi, it's me. I mean, it's Carrie, the one you've been texting. I mean, I think you probably know who I am. I just wanted to tell you I liked your cock. I grin at his joke, but then realize how horrible that sounds. Oh, God, I didn't mean your cock. Oh, crap, this is not going as I planned. I was hoping to talk and we could get to know each other on a better level. I mean, not that I'm not enjoying us now. I like you. I mean, oh, my God, that sounds overboard since I don't even know you or you me, but I like our texts. And this was also maybe a bad idea. I huff in frustration. Let's just pretend this never happened, okay? This is the wine calling. Don't worry about calling her back. I snort at my lame joke. Am I really this goofy? Apparently I am. A huge groan comes from me. Oh, God. And I hang up because I'm not sure I could fit any more awkwardness into one phone call. Talk about first impressions. Mine was impressionable, all right.
Chapter 6. Ram. What do we have to lose, Buttercup? One missed call. God damn it. I took a shower after my brother barfed all over us in the elevator and ended up missing her call. But the voicemail was worth it. Her voice was so unsure and she kept stumbling over her words. It was fucking adorable. Me. Loved your message. I'm glad you liked my cock. Did you like my dick? Her response is immediate. Buttercup.
Are you this brave just because we're texting?
Me. Why don't you call me again and find out? I have to wait a minute before she responds back. Buttercup.
I have an audience here at the bar. I'll call when I get back home. Deal?
Grinning. I type out a reply. Me. I can't wait to hear your voice, Carrie. She doesn't reply for what feels like hours. While I wait, I check on my passed-out brother and straighten up the house. Then, when she still hasn't responded, I work on sending out more messages to potential clients. When it's nearly 2 in the morning, I get a call. The name Buttercup flashes on the screen. I've saved her thumbs up as her profile picture. I pick up on the 2nd ring. Hello? It's quiet on her end. I can hear soft breathing. Carrie? A sigh into the phone.
I like when you call me Buttercup.
There's a twinge of guilt in her tone. I like when you send me pictures of yourself, Buttercup, I say, indulging her. She giggles, and I swear to God it's the sweetest sound ever. I turn off the lights in the house and lock up while I await her response. Eventually she does. She breathes.
I'm not really good at this.
I chuckle. What, talking to people? You're a bartender. Isn't that part of the job requirement? Another soft sigh. Her sighs are cute.
What I mean is, I'm not normally a risk taker. I do everything traditionally and by the book. Texting with some random stranger, talking about sex with him, sending and receiving pictures with him, it's all so...
Risky? I quip.
Yeah.
I lie down on my bed in my darkened room and rest a palm on my bare stomach. Isn't risk all about the potential of losing something you once had? Like certain investments are risky because you chance losing money. What do we have to lose, Buttercup? She's silent for a moment.
I'm embarrassed.
About having fun? About talking to someone who really wants to talk to you? Tell me why that embarrasses you.
Well...
She trails off. A small, non-humorous laugh escapes her.
It's kind of weird, like, gah.
I like you too. I scrub at my face in the darkness and let out a sigh of my own. Look, I tell her, I haven't exactly been happy for several months now. It wasn't until your wrong text that I began to laugh again. It may sound stupid, but I felt like you kind of dropped into my life at exactly the right moment. She doesn't respond right away. Then I hear her shuffling around.
What exactly are we doing? Are we trying to be friends?
Her words are breathy, like she's doing stuff.
We already are friends,
I tell her, a smile curving my lips up. We're trying to be more.
I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet. I don't do relationships that often, especially with people I don't know.
She clips out. I try not to sigh in frustration.
You keep saying you don't know me. Let's get to know each other. We'll make it fun. Okay.
She's hesitant, but I'd do anything to keep her soft, breathy voice on the line. Tell me 10 of your favorite things, just real quick. I'll go first so you know what I mean. Ready? I ask. Silence, and then...
Ready.
Football, Photoshop, mushroom pizza, thunderstorms, coffee, muscle cars, Game of Thrones, cats, roller coasters, and the Princess Bride. There, 10 things. Your turn. She giggles and my cock twitches in response. My mind imagines the brunette from the bar earlier, but with Carrie's voice. I know what I'll be thinking of later when my fist is gripping my dick.
Okay, so, let me think.
She pauses for nearly a minute, clearly having to think hard about this.
Oh, I know, I love cats, too. I have a cat named Marilyn Manson.
Wait, what? I interrupt, a chuckle vibrating my chest.
You named your cat after Marilyn Manson?
She scoffs.
My cat, Manson for short, has white eyes and black fur. He's a little on the creepy side to outsiders, but I think he's quite handsome. Also, whenever I play Marilyn Manson, he sits in front of the iPod dock and stares. His tail flicks back and forth eagerly. He's done this ever since he was a bitty kitty, so it seemed fitting. Anyway,
she huffs.
As I was saying, I also love saltwater taffy. Like, oh my god, it's the best ever. My parents used to take us to Silver Dollar City in Branson every Christmas, and I was the proverbial kid in the candy shop. I'd sit there for hours watching them make taffy. They had big machines they'd use to stretch it out. It was fascinating to watch. Then, once my parents got tired of that, they let me pick out a bag full of the stuff to take back home with us. All was well until I got my first cavity.
Chuckling, I absently run my fingers along the lines of my abs. I like that your 10 things all have a story behind them. Go on, what's the third thing?
Three. My best friend, Andy, she's a godsend, we're joined at the hip and my life would be boring without her. Andy pushes me to be brave when I'm afraid, she encourages me when I feel down, she makes me dress like a hoe sometimes when we go dancing because she says every woman has to go through their hoe stage so they'll be ready to settle down when the time comes.
She pauses and groans.
Oh my god, I just ramble, don't I? You just rattled your 10 things off and I'm giving you TMI about each of mine, I'm sorry.
At this, I growl. Don't ever apologize for being you. I happen to really like you. If I weren't talking to you right now, I'd be staring up at my ceiling in the dark, obsessing over my life. I'd replay my past in different ways, wondering how I could change things. I'd also worry over my future. And then, when the sun peeked through my windows in the morning, I'd shower and start my day, only to end it in the exact same way. This time, it's me who gives away too much information.
When do you sleep?
She questions, her voice but a whisper. Honestly, not much in the past few months. I've been dealing with some shit. I'll get past it. This insomnia crap became a way of life after my dad died 10 years ago. It seems when I'm stressed, I can't sleep. I admit.
I'm sorry about your dad.
She murmurs. This time I don't get onto her for apologizing, because this time I sense how genuine she is about the words. It makes my chest ache a little, so I change the subject. Tell me more of your favorite things. I can hear a smile in her voice.
Okay, so another favorite thing of mine is roller skating. Andy hates it when I get to choose our girls' night out. She loves to bar hop, but I love to relive my childhood. We We're usually the oldest people at the rink, but I make her go from time to time.
I laugh and imagine her and her friend roller skating with a bunch of teeny boppers. It's a cute visual. Go on.
Oh,
she blurts out.
I know what else I love.
Tell me, I encourage, my smile broadening.
Christmas songs. I could listen to them all year round,
she chirps happily.
Come Thanksgiving, I've already started listening to them. They make me super happy.
Her words make me think of Dad. They're at the end, when the pancreatic cancer had stolen away his laughter and happiness without much of a warning. He was a shell of nothing but pain and sadness those days before his death. But one particular night, a few days before Christmas, he demanded to hear Bing Crosby's White Christmas. When my mom tried to pacify him into taking a nap instead, he started throwing stuff from his nightstand. I had saved the day with my phone. Dad watched the YouTube video over and over and over again until he fell asleep.
You got quiet. What's wrong? Are you going to sleep? I should let you sleep,
she rambles. No, I tell her, my voice gruff with emotion. Go on. I was just thinking about my dad is all. Instead of continuing, she gets quiet.
You miss him a lot, I can tell.
I don't think I'll ever stop missing him, I admit. He was very involved in our lives until cancer poisoned him and then stole him from us. I'll always think about him and his obsession with Bing Crosby's White Christmas. My smile is back.
He sounds lovely,
she murmurs. I clear my throat. Okay, what's next?
I also love winter. It's the best season of the year. I love the holidays. I love the snow. I love the giving spirit of everyone around us. I love that I can wear leggings, oversized sweaters, and boots every day.
She sighs with happiness.
I just love it.
I imagine a pretty brunette with rosy cheeks laughing as snowflakes dot her hair and cheeks.
I like winter, too,
I tell her absently.
Also, I love ER. Do you remember that show? I have all the box sets, and anytime I'm on vacation from work or bored or lonely or sad, I watch ER. Every time, I get sucked in and forget the world around me.
You're cute, I blurt out.
Daryl didn't think so,
she murmurs, a bitter tone in her voice.
Can you believe I gave that guy nearly a year of my life? He did me so wrong, and yet...
She trails off and huffs.
I still feel bad. Like I was the one who broke up with him. I mean, I technically did, I guess, but I feel like it's my fault we ended. Because had I not seen him sucking face with his neighbor, we'd still be together.
Jealousy flares in my chest, but I quickly quell it down. Were you happy with him?
Not exactly,
she says sadly.
But I wasn't lonely either.
You're not alone now, I remind her. Three more favorite things. Spill, Buttercup. She laughs.
Mr. Impatient. Okay, so, maybe that's it. Maybe I don't have any more favorite things.
Big liar, I tease. You're one of those people who loves everything. You find something positive and good about any single thing besides assholes like Daryl and try to like something out of it. Am I right? She groans and then huffs.
Andy says I'm too nice. Since when did nice become a bad thing?
I question. You just need someone who appreciates and doesn't take advantage of your niceness. Being nice is a good quality to have. Now tell me three more things.
You're nice too, Ram,
she whispers. Her sweet voice sends tremors of need rippling through me.
Oh my God, I don't even know how to say this without sounding like a total weirdo.
I snort. Now I need to know. And by the way, I love how you say the words, oh my God, just as dramatically as when you text them. Her giggles are soothing.
Okay, fine. I love folding towels. Isn't that strange? I mean, who admits to that?
Towels, that's weird. Nobody loves to do laundry. That's the most boring thing ever. But truth is, Andy has had to drag me out of JCPenney's before because I got stuck folding all their towels so they looked neat. They were an awful mess. I couldn't stand to look at them, so I started folding them all. I even had a couple of people ask me questions where certain items were in the store because they thought I worked there. Of course, I shopped there a lot, so I was able to direct them. This also, to Andy's horror.
She starts giggling so hard I think she's crying. It makes me chuckle, too.
I want to see you, I say. It just comes out.
God, how I want to see you.
She grows quiet.
Maybe one day. I'd like to keep getting to know each other first.
Fine, I grumble in faux annoyance. Two more, towel girl.
Let's see. Oh, I know one. I absolutely love cheese. Oh my god, cheese is the best thing ever. Like, I could eat it on everything, probably. Sometimes I even ask the restaurant I'm eating at to melt a piece of cheese on my steak. Andy says that is, and I quote, fucking disgusting. But I can't help it. It's so good. I'm going to go to a cheese factory one day in Wisconsin. I'll watch how it's made and then take home a whole trunk full of cheese.
She groans and huffs again.
Gah, I just rambled some more. What is it with you that gives me verbal diarrhea? Ew, that's gross. Diarrhea and cheese don't belong in the same sentence.
Then she gags. I start laughing so hard I nearly drop my phone.
You're too much.
I manage to get out between breaths. She growls like the cutest goddamn kitten ever.
It is gross, Ram.
Last thing, I stammer out as I try to contain my laughter. More of that breathy frustration on her end that gets my cock hard.
Fine, okay, last thing.
The line goes quiet.
I love old people.
Old people?
I know,
she utters.
Laugh all you want, but it's true. When I was 16, they took my choir class to sing at an old folks' home. My grandparents on both sides were both dead by the time I was old enough to remember them, so I never really hung out with old people. But man, this old folks' home was full of them. Some were really sad, their eyes were hollow. It made my heart hurt for them. But then some were hilarious. They'd regale you with tales from their youth. The old men would flirt like it was no big deal. The old ladies would gush about how pretty you were. It was just fun. Old people are fun. Then after high school, I would volunteer at the home sometimes. I'd cry when some of my favorites would die. But mostly I did a lot of laughing. And man, oh man, those old people are serious about their board games. Scrabble and I came together as a set when I'd visit. There was always someone there who wanted to play with me.
She lets out a sigh.
That's it. 10 nerdy things about me. I bet you think I'm the weirdest woman you've ever met.
Actually, I tell her, my voice husky, I think you're beautiful. She screeches on the other line.
You haven't seen me, though. How could you possibly think I'm beautiful? What if I'm not your type? What if you don't like my nose or my hair or my eyes? What if I'm too skinny for you or not skinny enough? What if you think my perfume smells like something you hate? What if...
I cut her off. What if I don't care about any of that? I think you are beautiful. I didn't say your face or your body. I said you. And of course that sexiest sin hand, but mostly you. You're funny and sweet and a little on the oddball side, but that's what makes you beautiful. When I hear sniffling on the other end, I feel guilty. I've made her cry. Damn it.
That's the nicest thing anyone besides my best friend has ever said to me,
she says, her voice wobbly.
I don't know what to say.
You say thank you and accept it as truth. Fuckers like Daryl didn't appreciate you. Fuckers like me do, though. And I can't wait to know more. She sniffles again.
I need to go. Early day tomorrow.
God, I wish I were there to swipe away her tears for her. I don't want you to go. She laughs, and it's good to know her crying has subsided.
I have to.
Call me next time you get lonely. I'll always answer if I can.
Thank you,
she says sweetly.
Good night, Ram.
Night, Buttercup. We hang up, and an instant feeling of loss overwhelms me. I stare up at the darkened ceiling for a whole 10 minutes without moving. Instead of thinking about my insecurities and past, I think about her. I replay all of her stories in my head again. She's so vibrant and colorful. Life drips from her, and I want to drink it all up. I've known the woman but a couple of days, and I'm quickly becoming obsessed with her. If Roman knew how wrapped up I was in this unidentified stranger, he'd slap some sense into me. And that's exactly why he doesn't get to know. I want to keep moving forward. Senseless is fun. My phone starts vibrating on my chest. When I see it's Carrie, I grin as I answer. That was quick, I tell her with a chuckle.
Remember how you said we could be brave over the phone? Because we don't know each other?
Her voice is serious, if not strained.
Yeah? I started to touch myself after we hung up, but...
She trails off. My dick thickens at the mere thought of her fingers under her panties. But what?
But it's more exhilarating to talk to you while I do it. Oh my god.
She whispers.
That's so embarrassing to admit. I'm glad I can't see your face judging me.
A growl rumbles through me. I'm definitely not judging.
I'm imagining that sexy little thumb with the chipped navy blue polish and your other finger pinching your clit. It's not judging, babe. It's hot as fuck. She lets out a whimper.
Hearing you talk like that is hot, too.
I could talk you right through your embarrassment. What do you say? I can hear her swallow.
Okay.
Sitting up, I run my fingers through my messy hair. My heart is thundering in my chest and my cock is straining against my sweatpants. What are you wearing?
A big t-shirt and some panties,
she tells me bravely. Take them off, I order, my voice a low growl. She shuffles around and then she squeaks out a...
Done.
Good girl. Now I want you to touch your right nipple and tell me what you feel. I instruct. My own hand tugs my sweatpants down my thighs until my heavy cock bobs out. Gripping it, I wait for her to speak.
The nipple is hard. My nipples are small. I have little boobs,
she complains. I like little boobs, I encourage. My dick jolts at the idea of coming all over her pretty little tits.
Oh, good,
she murmurs.
I'm aching down there.
Down where?
There.
Your cunt?
Oh my god,
she shrieks.
You said the C word.
I laugh as I stroke my dick. Don't tell me you can't say cunt.
It's awful, Ram, the worst bad word ever,
she hisses.
Say cunt, Buttercup. Nope, not saying it out loud,
she grumbles. We'll continue this conversation later. Until then, slip your hand down to your pussy. Is pussy a better word? I question with a grin. She giggles.
It's better. Okay, I'm touching it.
Your clit?
Mm-hmm.
Her breathy voice, coupled with knowing she's touching her clit, has me closing my eyes. I fill in the blanks with Carrie by using the brunette from the bar, Danny, in my fantasy. In my head, she's lying on my bed with her brown hair decorating the pillow beneath her. Her small tits jiggle as she squirms each time she touches her clit. Spread your thighs, baby. I coo. My hand fists my cock harder. I want you to tell me if your cunt is wet. Are you dripping for me? She moans and I nearly spill my seed right then. Slowing my fisting, I wait for her to answer. Finally.
Yes, I'm wet. Very wet, actually. In fact,
she rambles,
I have never been this wet, I don't think.
My cock aches for release. You'll only ever get that wet from me, I growl. For some reason, I feel that vow down to my very being. Rub your slick finger all over your clit, and when you think you might come, Buttercup, I want you to stick that finger in your mouth. Since I'm not there, it's only fair you tell me how good you taste. She moans louder this time. Her breaths come out ragged and uneven. Then I hear a sucking sound.
I taste strange.
I bet you taste like you, and you already know how much I like you. One day I'm going to taste you for myself. What do you think about that? I mumble, my fist moving quicker over my length.
I'm scared. What if we don't get on in person?
We'll get on. So well, in fact, that I can guarantee you that the moment we actually meet in the flesh, I'll have my tongue down your throat within the first 10 minutes, and you'll be begging for much more than that. I tell her with a growl. She moans again, and I know she's back to fingering herself. With her soft breaths in my ear, I go quiet as I focus on my cock. One day soon, I am going to suck on your clit for you, Buttercup. I'm going to bite it until you beg me not to. You'll come all over my tongue, and when I taste you, I'll confirm that you don't taste strange at all. I bet you taste sweet like honey, I murmur.
Oh, God,
she gasps, and then a long moan of pleasure. My own climax jolts through me. Heat from my release splashes my stomach, and I let out a groan of relief. When we both come down from our highs, the air feels different. Whoever you are, Buttercup, I'm coming for you.
Thank you, Ram.
She sighs happily.
That was weird if I think about it too hard, but I don't want to think of it as weird. I loved it. It's okay to admit that, right? I'm not a skank if that's what you're thinking. I've never done this before.
I shake my head and grin. You're not a skank. You're mine. We hang up not long after, and for the first time in months, I sleep.
Chapter 7. Danny. Time to pay the piper. You have got to be kidding me here, Andy says in an exasperated tone. Again? What? I've barely just walked into work at the bank, and Andy is all up on me. I look to see if I have something on my shirt.
Not your damn shirt, she groans. Your smile. She pulls a face as if smiling is a bad thing. Really, Danny? Another? I begin to blush at what she's getting at. I should have never told her about the first one. This is getting ridiculous. We're on day 5 of you and that goofy-ass, weird, I-did-strange-things-over-the-phone-with-a-guy look. Her lip curls up as if this is the oddest thing she's ever heard of. I bring my hands to my cheeks. Do I look weird? I don't feel like I look any different. Maybe a constant smile rests on my face more lately, but that's a given. The past 5 days with Ram have been perfect. My cheeks and throat heat as I think about just how perfect my late-night calls with him have been. Oh, God. You're thinking about it right now, aren't you? I'm going to vomit. Ew. Andy says and starts making fake gagging noises. I ignore her jesting and set my purse under my teller booth. For the past 5 days, Ram and I have talked. A lot. We've gotten to know more about one another in a way that I don't think I ever have with any other boyfriend. Oh my God, I just compared him to a boyfriend. Friend. He's a friend. But then again, do friends do what we've been scantily doing all week? My cheeks must be blazing crimson at this point. I pick at the polish on my nail and let my hair curtain around my face as I hide the evidence of my naughty ways from Andy and all my other co-workers. Each night our conversations have led us both into a heated craze. One thing ends up leading to another, and then we're both touching ourselves, talking through every move like we're lying in the same bed, as if we're actually touching each other. Quite frankly, it's hot. Exhilarating and exciting. And fun. But it's more than that. It's almost as if I know him already, and he hasn't even set eyes on me. It's strange, though. Sometimes, during his heated praises, the way he compliments me, it's like he already knows me. And Lord help me, the things he says, naughty, dirty, straight up bad, vulgar words that cause me to turn bright red with embarrassment, but at the same time gush with wetness between my legs. I like it. I like him. I like what we've been doing. That's it. I'm pulling my desperate card. I break from my thoughts to look at Andy, who's manhandling the money till into her drawer. What's it? And what's a desperate card? I ask, confusion making my nose scrunch. What is this look you're giving me? It's my, I'm sick of watching you walk in those doors every morning with that I just did naughty things to myself with a complete stranger over the phone look. I need to get laid, and I'm pulling my desperate card. I giggle at her, still not following. I never said I was doing anything over the phone, besides that one time, and I still don't understand the desperate card. Oh, bullshit, she bellows. You've been practically skipping in here each morning. You actually said no to Frank yesterday about picking up his shift without me coaching you. And damn it, even your skin looks better. You're getting it, in some way, shape, or form. I start to laugh at her outburst. I only admitted to Andy the first time, and that was enough for me. The shock, then laughter, then drilling me to give her all the details was enough for me to keep the second and the third and the fourth to myself. I will plead the fifth on all of that, I tell her with a coy smile. Besides the Frank thing, he was crazy to think that since I wouldn't cover his shift, that I would take his dog again to the vet. No and no. I know, girl, and sweet move on making him pay you right then and there for the last vet visit. My jaw about fell off, listening to you demand he pay you that moment, or that you would take it up with management. She flashes me a grin full of pride. I smile to myself as well. Ever since talking to Ram, there's been this change in me. Confidence, maybe? He just says such kind things to me. It makes me feel, I don't know, important. During one of our nightly chats, I went into telling him about the pushover side of me, about how I let Daryl walk all over me, and even about the money I lent him. He got angry for me, but then tried to coach me, just as Andy did, on how to say no. It turned into a game of sexual banter, and while the beginning started with me teasing myself, telling him no, it ended up with me panting, yes, yes, yes. I can't.
I just don't have it in me to say that. It's just mean, I say at the bold statement Ram is coaching me to say when I confront Daryl, which he has convinced me is a must to get my money back.
Buttercup, it's not mean. It's the truth. That asshole fucked you over and ripped you off. You should rip off his balls.
My heart warms at my nickname. He is right, though. Daryl cannot get away with taking that money from me. Okay, fine. I'll say it. But I'm not sure about the whole breaking things part.
Then fuck his office up somehow. Does he have furniture in there? Take a knife or a key to it. Just get all crazy badass so he knows you mean business.
He finishes his statement on a laugh. We both know I don't have an ounce of badass crazy in me. I've changed out of my work clothes into a thin tank top and panties. I crawl into bed, making myself more comfortable.
You got a bit quiet. Tell me what you're doing right now.
His voice is deep, his request more of a statement. I push away the thin sheet covering from the hip down and kick it the rest of the way off. Then I allow my thumb to graze my skin, the feeling of being touched while hearing his voice enthralling. I just got into bed. I was making myself cozy. His grunt at knowing exactly what I'm doing despite my lies does this to me. It makes me so hot for him. Every time this week that we've started something past a casual conversation, it's begun with me letting him know my position.
Fuck. FaceTime me. Please. Let me see you.
I laugh, brushing my fingers along my navel and lower stomach. No. What if I have hairy legs and I didn't shave? You would run for the hills. Plus, I'm not ready for that.
God, Buttercup, when you are.
He trails off and lets out a rush of breath.
I swear I'm going to do things to you that will change you.
His words are like sexual triggers for me. No man has ever had such a tongue like Ram does. The things he says to me, the promises he makes. My hand moves up my stomach, gently squeezing my breast. I feel so naughty touching myself while he talks. But the past few days have taught me a boldness I never knew I had.
Your breathing is picking up,
he murmurs, his voice thick with lust.
Are you touching yourself, Buttercup?
I am, and I wish his hands were on my skin, caressing my breasts, pinching my hardened nipples, stroking the wetness that's building between my thighs.
Answer me, fuck,
he groans, and I wonder if he's touching himself too.
I can tell you're touching yourself. It's making me grip my cock, hearing those little gusts of air. Where are your hands, Buttercup?
His questions spark another wave of desire, knowing how naughty I am for admitting it. But I do. I'm touching my breast, squeezing my nipple, because it's hard and sensitive with arousal. His growl of approval is like heaven to me. He doesn't think I'm skanky or insane for what I'm doing. He's loving it. I move my hand across my chest to my other breast and offer the same sensual torment. This causes my eyes to shut, my pelvis lifting from the bed, begging to be touched.
I'm stroking my cock, wishing it were your hand,
he mutters, his voice low and sensual.
Your smooth skin stroking me up and down.
Oh, God. That visual is almost my undoing. I bet his cock is thick and long and veiny and perfect. I'm willing to bet he knows how to use it, too.
So perfect,
he murmurs. At his words, I pinch my nipple harder, allowing a soft moan to escape my lips. His voice is like an aphrodisiac for me, turning my senses wild. Feeling bolder than I have the past few nights, I release my breast and work my hand back down my stomach to my aching center. I dip through my trimmed hair, and automatically, my fingers are saturated. Oh, God. I'm already so wet, I tell him breathless. My fingers are soaked.
Another groan from his end. Fuck, babe. If I were there, I would use my tongue to suck you up and eat your eager pussy. Put your finger inside you. Pretend it's my finger, and tell me how much you want it to be me.
I moan at his dirty words, but I do as I'm told. I lower my hand, using my middle finger to caress my folds, then push one finger inside me. Oh, yes. That feels so good. So good. I repeat as I pull out and push back inside. I can hear Ram panting along with me. I know he is just as lost as I am while he works his cock.
That's it, he instructs, his voice a gravelly whisper. Now I want you to put two fingers inside that tight pussy of yours.
My sex gushes with arousal at his demand. I do as he says, once again, and work two fingers inside me. The feeling is filling and wonderful. I can't help but work them in and out as I wait for my release. That's what his words do to me. They make me lose control, turn me on, make me wild. Oh God, Ram, this feels so good. I'm going to come soon. I hear his breathing pick up, and I know he's working himself harder and faster. The thought of me being with him, watching him as I work his cock with my hands and mouth, throws me into a spiral of desire. Oh God, I'm going to...
Three fingers, Buttercup. He barks out with an animalistic growl. Feel yourself. I want you to know how it would feel if I was fucking you. I want you to feel stretched and full with my cock.
It's then I shove three fingers inside me and explode. Anywho, Andy chirps, we're going out tonight. I shake off the memory, hoping my face isn't flushed simply from remembering. Bringing my attention back to my best friend, I let out a sigh. I don't know if I can. I think about how much I look forward to my chats with Ram and our intimate moments. Going out means I'll miss that. Oh, yes, we are. You're coming with me, she tells me with a sly grin. We're going to Bender's, and I'm going to proposition Brett. At that, I choke on my gum. I start coughing, and it takes Andy to beat on my back for me to cough up the piece of gum. You what? Yeah, you heard me. He's a hot piece of meat, and he's nice to us. He looks like he can toss a girl around, too, and I need it. Danny, I am dying here. I need ass. I need to scream a random dude's name. Well, in this scenario, it will be Brett's. Brett has been nothing but awesome since we started going to Bender's regularly, but to be honest, he kind of scares me. He's just so big and bikerish. What if he's into tons of scary stuff, ties you up and gags you? Andy shrugs her shoulders. At this point, fine by me. Andy? What? I'm serious. And like you're one to judge. You're having phone sex with a complete stranger who you've never met. At least I know Brett is an actual person. She arches a blonde eyebrow as if waiting for me to challenge her. And that's just the thing. Ram does want to meet. But I keep finding ways to avoid, make excuses, or simply say no. With each pleading text message, he bargains with something close to unbearable to resist. I remember the first one that came through after our favorite things conversation. Ram.
Meet me for a drink. Coffee. Anything. I think it's time we start doing this in person.
Me. I can't. I'm really busy. Plus, I'm not ready. Ram.
I'm dying over here. Don't make me beg.
Me. Begging can be a good thing. I'm just not sure about this yet. What if you're not real? I like us how we are now. And that message was the truth. What if he wasn't who he truly seemed to be on the phone? And on our texts? What if this was an act, and the second we met, he turned into a rude, cheating jerk? I didn't want to compare him to Daryl. I just couldn't fully let my guard down, afraid of getting hurt again. He dropped it until the next night, after our second inappropriate phone call ended. Ram.
FaceTime me at least.
Me. No. Ram.
I'll buy you a pony if you FaceTime me.
Me. No. Ram.
I'll take you to Silver Dollar City so you can sing Christmas carols and eat taffy.
Me. Super tempting, but no. Ram.
If you FaceTime me, I will spread cheese all over my naked body, and you can picture licking it all off me.
At that I laughed, picturing a good soft brie cheese spread smeared all over his beautiful chest.
And, of course, the heat spread across my face as I imagined doing what he offered. Me, licking him clean, one cheesy inch at a time. Well, for your information, he does want to meet me, I reply, sticking my chin up. And you haven't? Why? Because the whole